Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1. And the author of the book of Hebrews is actually unknown. But I believe that it was the Apostle Paul that wrote the book of Hebrews. And I'm not the only one that considers that to be truth. But Paul writes, I believe, and he says, God, who at different times and in diverse manners or various ways spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, he has spoken unto us in these last days, he has spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning, ask that you bow your heads, and we're going to pray and continue with the series that the Lord has laid upon my heart. Heavenly Father, we are grateful today for the opportunity that you have shared with us to be in the house of the Lord. We are grateful this morning that we have opportunity to gather in your name and have the promise that when we gather in your name, you are in our midst. This morning, Heavenly Father, we have sensed your presence as we have worshiped and as we have sang, and now we come to the reading of your word, and I would pray, Lord, that you would inspire my thoughts and empower what is spoken. I pray that you would anoint me with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and give me divine ability this morning. Help me to impart what you have placed upon my heart today. I pray above all things, Lord, that Jesus will be glorified and the church of God or the people of God will be edified. Anoint me now and bless me now to be a blessing, and we will forever be grateful and we will forever give you the thanks. And those in agreement with that prayer said amen. So if you were here last week, then you know that we started a series of sermons that I titled, the greater title, if you will, The Miracle of Christmas. And it is my intention that we will minister the second sermon in that series, and then next week we will minister the third, and that will take us right up to the week before Christmas itself. Haas is going to be speaking, or Houston is going to be speaking for us on the 23rd. Next Sunday, as we conclude this series, the Lord has put it in my heart to have communion. So if you would like to be a part of that communion service, I encourage you to come and be a part of that service. So if I can just really briefly recap a little bit of what we talked about last week. If you will recall, last week we talked about the miracle of the moment. The miracle of the moment. Christmas is about the miracle of the moment when the promised seed had finally come. The long-awaited Redeemer, the Messiah, had finally come in the person of Jesus, God's only begotten Son. For 42 generations from Adam all the way to Christ, the Bible says 42 generations and names them all the way down in the first chapter of the book of Matthew. 42 generations, nearly 4,000 years, the people were watching and they were waiting and they were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the promised seed that would come and crush the head of the serpent as it was promised in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And the Bible says in Galatians last week when we read our text, the Bible said, and when the fullness of time was come, when the fullness of time was come, Christ came to release us from the law. He came to bring us into our full inheritance as sons and daughters of the Most High God. In Christ, we are no longer to be slaves to the law. We are no longer to be slaves to the old covenant, but we have become sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. That was the miracle of the moment. In Christ, we have entered into our inheritance. In Christ, we are no longer under the dominion of sin or the law. In Christ, we have been given life and that more abundant. In Christ, we have been made free because the scripture says, whom the Son hath made free is free indeed. We've been made free. That is the miracle of Christmas. It was all about the miracle of the moment. The moment when the fullness of time had come. And God sent his Son into this world. This morning, I want to continue to build upon that thought, the miracle of Christmas. And I want to minister on a subject that I have entitled, the miracle of the message. Last week, the miracle of the moment. This week, the miracle of the message. I want to begin this morning by asking you to think in terms of someone who is bilingual. That wouldn't be me. I butcher the English language. But think in terms of someone that is bilingual. As you know, someone could be speaking fluent Spanish to you, and you could not understand what they were saying because you did not understand their language. Someone could be before you and they could be speaking fluent Russian, and you would miss what they were saying because you do not know the language of Russian. You would miss the point that they were trying to get across. You would hear their words, but you would not completely understand the message that they were trying to share with you. You may hear their words, but you would not understand the message that they were trying to convey. Think in terms of those that use sign language. I think that's absolutely fascinating. Amen. Think in terms of someone that uses sign language to communicate. Have you ever been around someone that used sign language to communicate their message to someone that was hearing impaired? I personally have not been around that many people that, you know, have used sign language or even that many people that have a hearing impairment. But I find the whole concept very fascinating. I remember many years ago when I was on the evangelistic field, I had a lady that, you know, came up in a prayer line after the service after I had preached, and when she came before me, I leaned over and I said, "What would you like for me to pray with you about?" And she said, and I'm like, "Okay, we'll pray." So after the service, you know, we're standing in the back and I'm greeting folks on the way out, and she walked up to me and she said, "Do you know what I said?" And I'm thinking, my God, a miracle. I said, "No, I didn't know what you were trying to get across to me." And she said, "Well, I was speaking in tongues in sign language." And the only thing I could think of to ask was, "Well, do you interpret?" But I find it fascinating that someone could, you know, use sign language to communicate with someone who has a hearing impairment. But you have to understand what they are saying. You have to know the language that they are speaking. I would dare say that many of us here this morning do not know sign language. There are some of us I know that do, but many of us do not know sign. I mean, some of us know a couple of, you know, hand gestures that might get us in trouble here and there. Hello? We know how to tell somebody that they are number one with our middle finger, right? If we're being honest. We know how to, you know, give somebody a thumbs up on Highway 16, right? But that would be the extent of our sign language ability. But let me just share with you what the Spirit of the Lord put upon my heart. But if I had a child, if I had a grandchild, if I had someone that was very dear and very close to me, that was the only way that they could communicate, I would want to learn sign language. I would want to know how to communicate with them. If all they spoke was Russian, or if all they spoke was Japanese, or if all they spoke was whatever language it might be, I would want to learn that language. If it were sign language, I would want to learn that language, so that I could reveal my heart to them, so that they would know that I love them, and so that they would know that I care for them, and they would know that they are valuable unto me. I would want to be able to communicate with them, amen. And learning another language, whatever it might be, would not be a burden at all, but it would be an expression of my love. I would want them to know how I feel. I would want them to know how I love them. Beloved, let me just share with you this morning that, amen, what I want us to understand is that there is a spiritual parallel with these physical examples. Our text is telling us that God, down through the course of history, has been speaking, and he has been endeavoring to communicate with us. Listen to our text again. God, who at different times and in different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. What the writer is saying, that God has been speaking down through the course of history in time past and in different ways and at different times, he has been endeavoring to communicate with us so that we would understand his love and his heart for us. But he says in verse 2, but now in these last days he has spoken unto us by his Son. The God's Word translation said, in the past God spoke to our ancestors at many different times and in many different ways through the prophets. But now in the last days he has spoken unto us through his Son Jesus. What the writer is trying to tell us is that over the course of history and down through the course of time, God has been speaking, but many of us haven't been understanding what he's saying. He's been giving us signs and giving us wonders and speaking, and we haven't been hearing what he's been saying. He wants us to know him in an intimate way. He wants us to love him, and he wants us to worship him, and he wants us to understand his great love for us. But the problem has been, we weren't getting the message all down through the course of history. At different times and in different ways, God spake to our ancestors. And yet the message was not complete. The message was not fully understood. You might be asking yourself, Pastor Gary, amen, how does God been speaking? Consider the many different ways that God has spoken over the course of history. Let me just share with you right here and now that the Bible says that God reveals himself through his creation. God speaks through his creation. Amen. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 said, from the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly observed by what has been made. As a result, people have no excuse for knowing who God is. Now understand that that scripture is saying that from the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature is on display every day around us in our universe. God has been speaking by the sunrise and the sunset and the planets in their orbits. And yet we have missed the message. What Paul is saying that God reveals himself through his creation. Have you ever sat and watched a beautiful sunrise? I submit to you this morning that that is God saying, I love you, and today is a brand new day. Have you ever sat and marveled at an incredible sunset? I submit to you that God is saying, my love and my grace and my mercy and my hand has overshadowed you throughout the course of your day. Have you ever sat and watched the tide come in and the tide roll out along the coastline, or watched an eagle soar over the heights of the mountaintops? That's him saying, I hold the whole world in the very palm of my hand. He speaks through the very things that are around us. He speaks with the orbit of the sun, the moon, and the vastness of the planets. Have you ever walked out on the patio or the porch or looked up? My wife and I have a wonderful hot tub. We like to get out there in the hot tub when the sun goes down and just look up and watch the stars and enjoy the hot water. Hello? Love it. But it's amazing how you can just see the vastness of the things that God created. When I look upward and I see all of that, I stand in wonder and in awe. It's God speaking to our hearts. Amen. It's God speaking to our hearts. Through the very stars, they proclaim his power. Psalms 147 declares, he determines the number of the stars, and he gives each one, amen, or he calls each one by name. Isaiah 40 and verse 26, the Bible said, look at the sky and see who created these things, who brings out the stars one by one and calls them by name, because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing from their place. The scriptures declare the might and the power of God. He hung the stars in the sky and calls them each one by name. His creation, amen, is just one of the many ways that he has spoken to mankind down through the years. Let me just share some examples with you this morning. God spoke to Moses through a burning bush that was not consumed. He spoke to the Israelites, amen, with the fire and the smoke that radiated off of Mount Sinai. He spoke to the children of Israel in the wilderness through a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. When they saw that pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, they knew that God Almighty was in the camp with them. He was speaking to them. He spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice. He spoke to Isaiah in a vision in the temple when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. He spoke to Hosea through his family circumstances. He spoke to Amos with a basket of summer fruit. He spoke to Jeremiah as Jeremiah watched the potter working the clay on the potter's wheel. He spoke to Joseph in dreams. What I'm saying this morning is at different times and in different manners, God has been speaking to mankind all the way down through the course of history. And unfortunately, too many, amen, were unable to hear what he was saying because they had a deaf ear toward God. God has been speaking his message through dreams and through visions and through angels and through prophets and through the Urim and the Thummim that the high priest carried in the Old Testament days. He revealed himself to Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees. He revealed himself to the children of Israel in the wilderness. He revealed himself in Canaan land. He revealed himself by a mighty hand. Amen. To the Egyptians in the land of Egypt. He revealed himself, amen, in the Babylonian Empire over and over at different times and in different ways. God has shown himself mighty and God has been speaking. And the problem has been we haven't been getting the message. God has been speaking through the course of history and people were not grasping what God was saying. God's revelation in the Old Testament was fragmentary. It was pieces and parts. It was occasional. It was progressive. There is not a single Old Testament prophecy. There is not a single Old Testament dream. There is not a single Old Testament vision that gives us the full picture of what God's plan would be like. It was a piece here, a part there, a sign here, a word there, a prophecy here. And the best that they could do was try to put those pieces together and to understand what he was saying. Are you hearing me this morning? It was progressive. They didn't fully understand the heart of God. They didn't fully understand the plan of God. Mankind was here on this earth, busy living their life and going about their own agendas, and far too many of them had a deaf ear toward God. But rather than give up in frustration, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And our text says, but God in these last days has spoken unto us by his Son, Jesus Christ. What we weren't getting, God understood that we couldn't figure it out. And he sent his Son to deliver his message and his heart so that we could understand the plan of God. That's the miracle of Christmas. That is the miracle of the message. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And verse 17 goes on to say that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. God, now in these days, in our time, he speaks to us clearly through his Son Jesus. Look again, if you will, at verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors in many different times and in many different ways and through the prophets. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. What the scripture is telling us is that now,
Now that Christ has come, now that Jesus has come, God has revealed himself directly to us in a way that we can understand. God not only revealed himself through the words that were spoken by his son and through the message that his son preached, but he did more than that. Jesus is the divine, amen, living son of God, amen, and he did more than just proclaim God's message. He is God's message. He is God's message. Jesus came to reveal the heart of God. He came to make known his ways in a manner that we could understand. Look at verse 3 of our text. It says, amen, the Son is the radiance of God's glory. What does that mean? It means that if you want to see God, look at the Son. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by the word of his power. What am I saying? I'm saying that if you want to see God the Father, then look at the life of Jesus Christ. He is God in the flesh. John chapter 1 verse 1, I quoted it last week. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 of that same chapter, the book of John, said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What I'm saying this morning is if you want to see God, then look at the life and the ministry and the words of Jesus Christ. He is God in the flesh. Amen. Would you like another scripture to just point that out? The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 19 that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. In other words, God took upon himself the form of humanity, and he came to speak our language so that we could understand what our God was really like. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to know God the Father, then look no further than Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse number 9. Jesus said to Philip, Philip asked him, he said, show us the Father. And this is what Jesus said to him in John 14 and 9. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? And then listen to this. He said, he that hath seen me has seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How sayest thou then, he's talking to Philip, how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Amen. He said in John 10 and 30, I and my Father are one. If you have seen me, you have seen him. John 12 and 45, and he said unto them, he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I said, if you want to know God's heart, look no further than Jesus. If you want to know God's heart, look no further than the message that God sent us through his own Son. The miracle of the message is that Christ came to reveal the heart of the Father. Amen. Understand that to know Jesus is to know God the Father. Amen. The miracle of the message is not just in the fact that he came, and not just the fact that he speaks even to us today, but the true miracle of the message is that his message has power to transform our lives. The message has power to transform our lives. Christmas is the celebration of the greatest message ever proclaimed. God is with us. Emmanuel. God came near. God entered the world in a new way. God came to tabernacle with us. What does that mean, Pastor Gary? It means God came to live with us. God came to make himself available unto us. When he was crucified on Calvary, the veil in the temple was rent. And the Bible said that whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Amen. There is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Jesus Christ. He came to reveal the heart of God. He came to reveal so that we could understand the complete plan of salvation. He came to proclaim God's message so that we could be set free from the bondage of sin. He came to reveal the message of salvation so that we could be made free. Amen. And free indeed, so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And so that we might become heirs and joint heirs, amen, with him, amen, in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning that is the message of Christmas. Amen. And the Christmas message is the one message that everybody in America needs to hear. Every person in America is bombarded on a daily basis with all kinds of messages, subliminal message. All kinds of messages they reach our ear gate, our eye gate. They come to us all the time, bombarding our heart. Every person in America, messages come to form and fashion. They're printed messages through books, newspapers, magazines. There are audio messages through radio and audio on the internet. There are messages that enter our eye gate through television and movies, and messages that come, amen, personal messages that come to us through the contact of other people. And just like there are many different kinds of messages or ways that they come, there are many different types of messages. Messages that inform, messages that entertain, messages that advertise, messages that inspire, they all come to us. But the whole purpose of every single message is to communicate, influence, and assist us in making a quality decision in our life. God sent his son so that we could hear. That we could hear and receive and make an intelligent decision in our life to receive him as Savior. The Christmas message is all about God sending the coming Savior. Remember the words of the angels. Remember the words of the angels to the frightened shepherds. You'll find it in Luke chapter 2, verse number 8 through verse number 11. The Bible says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Wow. I can almost see it happening. In the theater of my mind, I can almost see that night and how that it unfolded. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. They are just minding their own business, doing their own thing with a deaf ear toward heaven. God been speaking all these years and they ain't got it. And suddenly, the angel of the Lord came upon them and the glory of the Lord shone round about them and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Behold, unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, what a message from heavenly places. The message of the angels was God's declaration of deliverance. The promise of God was being fulfilled in the birth of the Savior. The message of the angels was God's announcement of action. The purpose of God was being completed through the coming of a great and marvelous light. The message of the angels was a proclamation of joy. The plan of God was being achieved in the birth of God's Son. And the miracle of the message was being fulfilled in Jesus Christ, coming to reveal the heart of God, the Father Himself. How so, Pastor Gary? How is Jesus' message revealing the heart of God? Let me share with you a few examples. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, he's talking about himself. He said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." He's telling them, that's my purpose. He came to reveal the heart of God. Can I tell you that that is the heart of God, to seek and to save that which is lost? Jesus said in Luke 9 and 56, "The Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to save them." That is the heart of God. He did not come to destroy the lives of men, but he came to save them. Jesus said in John 10 and 10 that the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundant. That's the heart of God. He wants to give us life and life more abundant in Christ. The Apostle Paul said concerning Jesus, the coming of Christ, he said in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Christ came into the world to save sinners." That's the heart of God. That was the message that God sent through his Son. When the angels announced his birth, they said, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill toward men." Was that a declaration that there would be peace on earth from that time forward? No. There's been everything but peace on earth. What were the angels saying? Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. They were saying, this is God's answer. This is God's plan. This child shall be the Redeemer. This child will make peace between God and men. It is through him. It is through him. The message gives us a direct and a specific picture of the work and the mission of Jesus Christ. When the Lord began to lay this on my heart, I couldn't help but ask, why would you do that, Lord, for me? Why would you go to such extent for me? And I go back to that little illustration that if I had a child, a grandchild, someone that was dear, dear to my heart, that could not hear, that spoke a different language, that whatever the case, I would want to be able to communicate with them. I wouldn't want to just hug them and smile at them and go, no, I would want them to know how valuable they were to me, how much they meant to me. I would want to be able to pull them close and look into their eyes and share my heart with them so that they would understand who that I am and how that I feel about them. That's why God did what he did. Because he loves us with an everlasting love. He loves us with an everlasting love, so much so that he wanted to communicate that love freely and openly so that we might understand his message of salvation. And he sent his own Son to do it. The miracle of the message is that nothing can separate us from the love of God. The miracle of the message is found in God bringing his Savior into the world. The miracle of the message is Emmanuel, God living with us. He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. The miracle of the message is that no matter what we do, no matter how many times we fall, no matter how many times we mess up, he is there willing to pick us back up and brush us off and let us go again. He never gives up. The miracle of the message is God is bringing his presence into this world in a different kind of way. No more pieces and parts and imagery and just a bit here and a bit there. But he said, I'm going to lay it all out for you so you can have the whole picture. And the sad part of it is even though Christ has come, many have still turned a deaf ear to the message. The miracle of Christmas is the miracle of the message, and the message is that God loves you. The question I feel like the Holy Spirit wanted me to ask is, are you listening? I said, the message is God loves you. The question is, are you listening? The enemy will come along many times, sit on our shoulder and tell us that we are unworthy and we are no good and that we will never measure up. And all of those things are absolutely true. That's why they hurt so bad. Hello? We can't never measure up. We can't. We are not good enough. We are. But the good news is it's not in us. It's in what he did for us. It's what he has given us. That free gift, it is not just enough to know about the miracle of Christmas, but we need to experience the miracle of Christmas in our own lives this morning. Would you please bow your heads? It's not just enough to know about the message of Christmas, but we need to experience that message in our own life. We need to hear for ourselves. He that hath ear to hear, Jesus said, let him hear. He wasn't talking about the natural ear. He was talking about the inner ear of the Spirit. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. I thank you for the miracle of Christmas, the miracle of the message. Thank you that even when we were hearing the voice of God and wasn't understanding what you were saying, you spoke to our ancestors at different times and in different ways. And even though the message wasn't coming through, you loved us so much that you sent your own son to clearly impart unto us the message of your love and your grace and your favor to usward. Thank you for so wonderfully and wondrously speaking to us through Christ. Thank you for revealing the depths that you would go to communicate with us and to bring us into your marvelous salvation. Lord, I pray as we celebrate this Christmas season, we celebrate the miracle of the coming of your Son, that we will celebrate the moment and we will celebrate the message, that our hearts have been set free. Thank you for the moment that he came and the message that he brought. Help us, Heavenly Father, to take another look at Christmas. It's not about the hustle and the bustle and all of the secular things that transpire. They're fun and it's all okay. But Lord, it ain't about that. It's about a God that loved us so much that he sent his own son to die in our place upon the cross. And I thank you for those things, Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed this morning. Are you here? And God has been speaking into your life, but you've had a deaf ear. You haven't been listening. You haven't been getting the message. Today is a brand new day. Before you leave this place today, you can leave with the assurance of God's salvation in your heart. Are you here this morning and you would be willing to slip up your hand? Say, I haven't served the Lord as I should. Your hand is seen. Your hand is seen. Yes. 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 God sees hands all over here this morning. Stand to your feet, please. Hands have been lifted. I'm going to pray with those that lifted their hands, dismiss you, and have them come and sing one more time. Heavenly Father, you saw every hand that went upward here this morning. Today, the message has come across. Today, let them receive. Today, Lord, bring strength and assurance to their spirit. Lord, you acknowledge the lifting of their hand. And Lord, I pray that when they leave this place this morning, they will leave with the absolute assurance that peace has been made in their hearts with God. In every area of their life, let Jesus Christ have preeminence. Lord, we receive the message. We receive the miracle of your message. We receive, acknowledge your salvation. And we thank you for it and honor you for it in the mighty and awesome name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Go ahead, come.